the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
And welcome back to the show. I am your host, Mike David. Joining me today, please welcome my guest, Tina Stromstead. Tina, how are you doing today?
I'm really good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking. And like always, why don't you first put out your contact info or whatever is the best way for my audience to reach out to you for after the show?
Yeah, probably my website, because it has a way to contact me, and it also has a lot of information that I hope can be helpful for people if they want to follow up on different things. So that address is simply my name, which makes it easy to find. It's TinaStromstead.com. That's TinaStromstead.
Awesome. And
.com.
Can't forget that. And
no.
Tina, we're definitely glad to have you back with us. We're excited to get more information and insight from you. Now, for those who are first time tuning into you or may not be as familiar with you, if you can, just kind of go over what it is you do exactly and just a little bit of background about yourself.
Sure. Well, actually, I began as a dancer, and I think a lot of people do as kids. We just move in a natural way, you know, in tune with our feelings and a sense of rhythm and ways to express ourselves and delight or upset or just playing with things. So I think that's something that comes to all of us naturally, and some of us decide to continue it, you know, and keep going into dance or yoga or, you know, martial arts or sports or different ways to express ourselves through the body in a way that can feel really grounding and expressive and integrative in many ways. So from there, I kept dream journals as a child because I was also really interested in my inner life. I somehow knew that those movies inside that we make at night or that the spirits give us at night, you know, depending on our sense of what dreams are about, can tell us a lot about what we're feeling and what some of our deeper questions and spiritual journeys even, something about the meaning of our life and the emotions we're struggling with, and they can also offer us some help in the way through. So I was keeping track of my dreams, but I didn't really have anyone to share them with. And later on, I trained to become a psychotherapist, but I was always interested in the role of the body. And a lot of talk therapy doesn't really include the body. So in addition to doing my master's and my PhD in clinical work in psychology, I also became a dance movement therapist. So I was training at the same time in how to understand the expressions of the body as a pathway to the deep psyche, as a way to help healing and growth and development and transformation. And I just continued to put all of those together in my own way and learned that there were different people doing dance therapy. I didn't know that at the time. There's an association of people all over the world who are working in different kinds of ways, but using the body, other associations as well. And when I was 18, I read a book called Memories, Dreams, Reflections. And it's about the life of the Swiss psychiatrist C.G. Jung, who lived in the last century and was very deeply interested in the psyche and also in the body and in how dreams could help us understand what was happening inside of us and offer a pathway through. He gave us things that a lot of people don't know about, like expressions like introversion and extroversion, these kind of stylistic ways we have of engaging the world, and also things like superiority complex, inferiority complex. The Myers-Briggs personality assessment comes directly from his work. That's something that businesses all over the world, an assessment tool they use, I think, more than any other one. But a lot of people don't know that it comes from Jung's work. So because of the depth of it, integrated with other people, other people's work that I've studied, it doesn't just address symptoms and try to help alleviate something in the moment. The work helps you try to go get to the roots of your issues, which create symptoms. So it's like the roots are the roots of the tree, the things in your history as a child, and maybe even things your ancestors have experienced that get passed down. And then the branches and the tips of the branches would be the symptoms, the problems you're struggling with now that you want to address, but you need to be able to get also to the deeper roots so that you don't just try to help the problems go away. You try to help the person get to the source of what they're about and what the deeper feelings are so they can help resolve their own issues. So that's maybe more than you asked for, but it has to do with how these things are deeply integrated in the work and a little bit about my own journey in getting there.
Yeah, that is quite amazing, and it's funny how things kind of fall into place like that. And what's really cool is your practice is pretty unique because when most people think about therapy, they think about talk therapy usually. Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say is the main difference between talk therapy and what you offer people?
Well, and of course, everybody's a little different, and I think people who do talk therapy, who do it well, are in their own way intuitively paying attention to the person's body who's right there with them. I mean, in a way, you can't help but be interested and engage with someone's facial expression, with how they're holding their body, with the volume of their voice, with the force of the feeling that they have around a particular issue, and how those things get expressed or withheld, how they can get kind of frozen in the body, so the body isn't really able to move or express what's happening. So I think people who do talk therapy are noticing some of these things, but they may not know how to work with them more directly with the body. That may be outside of the scope of their practice or what they've really explored in their own analysis or their own body-oriented psychotherapy. They may not have had that experience, and not something that they've trained in professionally. So bringing the body in, I think, helps you go to the immediacy of the feeling. You know, there are a number of people who've worked in these ways. Martha Graham, who was a famous modern dancer there in New York, where you are, she said, movement never lies. It is a barometer telling the state of the soul's weather to all who can read it. And then Mary Whitehouse, who we think of her as the grandmother of a form of dance therapy called authentic movement, which I teach and do with clients, she says, there is that in us which has moved from the very beginning. It is that which can liberate us, meaning we're very interested, we're supporting the person in feeling safe enough in the therapy room with us to allow their body to begin to express what it is that's underneath all the words, or that might be hard for them to find words for, because they may never really have been allowed to express their feelings more directly in their household. Or maybe their household was actually caring, but their parents hadn't learned how to talk about their feelings and how to process things that came up. So the body holds those memories for as long as it takes for the person to feel safe enough to begin to breathe more deeply and feel a little more tender in the body, and allow the body to begin to tell the story, let's say, about what the person has experienced in their life. And then you can work with what's emerging by reflecting it back so the person becomes more conscious of the gesture they're making that they may be unconscious of. I always ask permission. You know, I say, it seems like your body is trying to help express what it is that you're feeling. Would it be okay for me to reflect back something that I saw and do it with you, maybe? And if the person pulls back and seems reluctant, I don't push that, because it's coming more from the unconscious, and the person has to be ready to explore that more consciously together. But sometimes they're very eager, particularly if they come knowing that I work with the body, and I always share that on the phone when they call initially and when they first come. Or I might put on some music and have them work with assertive rhythms, you know, if assertion isn't accessible to them. You know, if they tend to kind of go with what everybody else thinks or feel submissive or freeze, you know, if there's trauma there, or get combative, you know, it helps them organize their sense of healthy assertion instead of having to be violent or instead of having to repress it. Mm-hmm. It helps them get more familiar, or it helps them learn to relax or to be more tender or to move in a way that's slower, so they really get to feel what's happening in their body. Because if we do things really quickly, and our culture tends to do that, we actually have a harder time feeling what's going on in the body. We're just doing it. So those are some of the ways.
Yeah, it's so fascinating that you can get so much information and be able to help people by just, you know, looking at the movement of their body. It's super interesting. Now, I do have more questions for you on that, but we're going to go to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to get more information with Tina Stromstad. Stay tuned.
If you're struggling in your life and seek more ease and vitality, tap into the wisdom in your body through creative arts and dream work. I'm Dr. Tina Stromstad, founder of Souls Body Center. My unique approach to psychotherapy integrates Jungian psychology and body-oriented methods to help you heal and change. My private practice is in San Francisco, and I offer workshops and online webinars and consultation for therapists. You can reach me at tinastromstad.com. That's TinaStromstad.com.
Every business needs professionals they can trust. Let it be your lawyer, accountant, electrician, even the company plumber are all people you can trust. So why are you settling for your printer vendor? They never respond to your questions, and when they do, it's always late. Always seems to take an eternity to get your printing done and ready, but you've dealt with it because there really wasn't another alternative. That is, until now, Max Image Printers. Take the worry out of your printing needs. As a hybrid company, both on website and phone, they welcome clients, businesses of all sizes, to call and ask questions to make as many orders as you need, with the confidence of having your work printed, beautiful, and ready in just a few business days. Bring the trust back into your printing. Maximize your printing experience with Maxim Image Printing. Call now at 801-977-8330. Email Keith at maximage.net. Visit the website, maximage.net. Max Image Printing. Quality service guaranteed. If you're not happy, you don't pay.
If you're struggling in your life and seek more ease and vitality, tap into the wisdom in your body through creative arts and dream work. I'm Dr. Tina Stromstad, founder of Souls Body Center. My unique approach to psychotherapy integrates Jungian psychology and body-oriented methods to help you heal and change. My private practice is in San Francisco, and I offer workshops and online webinars and consultation for therapists. You can reach me at tinastromstad.com. That's TinaStromstad.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
And welcome back to the show. I am your host, Mike David. Of course, with me is Tina Stromstead. Now, Tina, of course, you were giving us a little bit more insight on how you help people using therapy with the body. Now, I wanted to ask you as well if you can actually share an example of how you were able to use your techniques when it comes to working with the body or even your authentic movement, how you were able to kind of help people maybe get through a certain situation or a certain struggle that they had and ultimately lead them to a better path?
Oh, thank you for the question. Actually, Mike, I just wanted to say one thing parenthetically, if it's okay. There were a couple of ads, and a couple of them were from me, so I was surprised to hear my own voice. But anyway, people will definitely get the information from that about how to be in touch. So in any case, gosh, there's so many examples. I'm thinking of one that happened some time ago. Because I train people to become therapists, and I offer workshops, and I offer consultation with other therapists and people who are working in healing methodologies. So in this case, it was a situation with a student who was a man who was very strong. He was an athlete. He had a deep interest in the role of the body in healing, more from a physical and kind of sports orientation. The psychological part was very new for him, but he was taking a risk in being in this class. And I invited everyone in the group to explore something we call authentic movement, which is a form of dance movement therapy. And in this practice, you are invited to close your eyes so that you're not distracted by things in the outer world, and you can tune in to your body sensations, to your emotions, to images that might be there, to memories or parts of dreams, that whole rich inner world that's a little harder to access when we're looking around outside and when we're focusing on, you know, what we need to get done in the day. So it's a kind of it's a sacred time and place, let's say, where the person can focus inwardly. And in this case, he found himself moving with strength, you know, making very big movements, the kinds of things that he would do when he was kicking a soccer ball or doing martial arts. They were really beautiful moves, and they were highly disciplined and highly formed. But it was hard to tell what he was feeling. They were things he had practiced over and over again that made it difficult for him to connect with what was going on in the moment, but helped him feel strong and more stable and successful, and it was an important part of his work as well as his personal practice. In this case, because he felt safe enough, at a certain point he slowed down, he started paying more attention to his breath, and he ended up curled up in a corner of the room, rubbing his thigh. And I found myself I was sitting to the side of the space as the witness of the group, tracking what was going on in the space, helping to hold the space so it felt safe, and noticing what was going on in my own body as I was touched by what people were exploring, knowing that I could talk with them afterwards about what happened if they wanted to. So I saw him rubbing his thigh, and I felt incredibly sad, and my own heartbeat quickened, and I had this sense of a little bit of fright and a sense of deep grief, but I didn't know what it was about. And in this way, I was empathizing with him without knowing the content, but just experiencing what I was feeling and seeing what he was expressing in his movement. And so when he came out, when I just kind of ring a Tibetan bell gently three times to end the movement, and people often draw what they're experiencing so they don't have to talk right away and go to the verbal centers of the brain, but stay with the feeling and give it more form and color and line in the drawing, not fancy drawing, you know, unless they want to, but just direct expression. And the students all came back to the circle. And he asked if, I said, is there anyone who would like to share what they experienced? And he said he was really startled and deeply moved by what he was able to return to, which is that he'd had a lot of pain in his leg as a boy. I think he was six or seven. And he continued to talk about the pain in his leg. And his father, who was pretty tough because of his dad's own history, you know, the grandparents had said, you know, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. You know, there wasn't much room for feeling. And his father thought his son was just complaining, and he didn't want a boy to grow up like that. You know, he probably thought he'd have a tougher time in the world. But it ended up squelching very important parts of my student's personality and his capacity to become more whole and to be more sensitive also in relation to his wife and to his friends and first and foremost to himself. So what he shared was that after a while, you know, his mother finally said to the father, let's just take him to the doctor, you know. What if he's not just complaining? What if he's not just trying to get out of his chores? Let's just see. They took him to the doctor, and they discovered a cancerous tumor in his leg. And they had to have it removed because it was actually life-threatening. And it wasn't until he was an adult and he was in a room that felt safe with people who were interested that he was able to return to that surgery experience and family experience. And so he felt called to rub his leg, and he was rubbing his leg, and he began to cry, and he began to rock, and he began to find a way to comfort the little boy in him that had always had to stay shut down, that went through the surgery but never really healed on an emotional and soul level in a way that could be shared consciously with himself and with other people who could empathize and say, I'm so sorry that happened. I'm so glad you got the surgery, you know, and we welcome your feelings, whatever they are. They're important for your growth and healing. And so he was very grateful, and it was a very important experience for him, and he really began to change. He was able to continue with the martial arts and the sports work he did with people, but to be able to really relate to the men and women that he worked with in a way that helped them be more tuned in so that they could go at a pace that was healthy for them, they could avoid injury, and they could do what they were doing as a fuller human being. They could enjoy it more, too. So there's an example from a teaching situation. Maybe another time I can give you an example from a therapy situation.
That is quite incredible. And just from that experience, you know, how you were able to give someone so many benefits and you know, understanding of themselves is quite incredible. Now, usually I like to ask, do you have a quote or any type of maybe words of inspiration that you can share with our audience today?
Well, thank you for that. You know, I'm thinking of Henry David Thoreau, who was a wonderful American poet, and this has to do with how we can be present with each other. And I think it's particularly important given the political climate that we're in these days, where it's hard for people to listen to each other without getting all worked up, but how important it is to be able to do that so we can find our way together. So Henry David Thoreau, one of our most profound American poets from New England some time back, said, it takes two to speak the truth, one to speak and another to hear. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. That was an excellent quote there. And where can people go to get more information about you and your services?
They can go to my website. And actually, I want to mention, on the website, there's a workshop coming up for those who are on the West Coast or who would like to be in San Francisco. October 12th, I'll be offering a workshop at the C.G. Jung, the Jung Institute here in San Francisco, called Embracing Your Body, nourishing your soul. And if they want to go to my website, they can see it at the bottom of the homepage and click it to get more information. So you'll also find webinars there on different subjects, short video clips about working with dreams and working with the body and working with movement. And that website address is tinastromstedt.com. It's TINASTROMSTED.com.
Sounds good. Well, Tina, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and giving us more insight and information on how you help people. I think it's super fascinating, and I'm sure it is for a lot of people that are tuning in right now. So thank you so much for taking the time out and sharing that with us.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You as well, and we definitely look forward to speaking with you again soon. And for everyone else out there, please stay tuned. We're going to be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
You're listening to Business Talk Radio, where we take business to the next level.
So you see, son, good manners are very, very important. Someday, many years from now, when you're a grown-up, you'll be a man. And when you are, you should be a gentleman. Do you want me to go through it one more time?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Exactly. Always say please, thank you, you're welcome, and excuse me. Sit up straight, hold doors open for ladies. If a door's shut, then knock first. Don't burp, don't swear, don't speak with your mouth full, don't reach across people's plates, keep your elbows off the table.
What table?
And don't interrupt. While we're at it, don't stare, don't use foul language, don't call people names, but do remember people's names. Always share your toys, play nice, and cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze. On the bus, give up your seat to anyone who has trouble standing. Bottom line, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. Got it?
Got it.
And stop picking your nose.
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.